Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, powered by You and Improved. Leadership Lowdown is a radio series dedicated to shining a spotlight on Valley business leaders and sharing the real stories behind their rise to the top. We want to know the truth about what it takes to truly succeed in life and in business. And we're here to uncover these leaders' journeys, the pitfalls, the victories, and all of the heartaches and triumphs in between. And today I am so thrilled because I am sitting in the studio across from two people that I love and admire. My dear friend, Mr. Frank Neal, who's the president of Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries of Arizona. Welcome.
Good morning, Jody.
Yeah, so happy you're here. And then, excited. Yeah, we're glad to have you. And then we've got Mike Hayes, who's the director of business development for At Work Staffing Group. So welcome, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to have you both. So as I mentioned, we like to have a lot of fun on this show. It's all about hearing about your journeys and really what it took to get to where you are today, because it's never an easy, smooth path. At least I've never seen one up until this point. There's usually some pivots in the road. So we'll start with you, Frank, and hear a little bit about you. And I know you're an Arizona native.
I am. I went to high school here locally.
Where'd you go?
Alhambra High School.
Alhambra, okay.
Yes, yes. Graduated some time ago. I won't divulge that, but
I think you might have graduated after me. So I'm feeling a little bit old these days because I'm realizing this is happening more.
No,
and
I'm
more.
The proud class of '86.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. So you got 4 years on me. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I went to Alhambra High School. Did a little bit of college. Went into the Army for a while.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a new fact. I love it.
Yeah. I started Lazy Boy in 1993.
Wow.
So 25 years here.
Wow. So that was like your first kind of going into the workforce?
You know what? Honestly, it was the first job I've ever had where I didn't have more than one job.
Oh, okay.
I always worked multiple jobs all the time. So yeah, it was the first opportunity I ever said, well, I can make just as much money and not work 7 days a week.
Wow, yeah. This is kind of a good gig. Yeah. So what were some of the things you did in the early days when you were working the double jobs? And
oh boy, I worked at UPS. I bartended.
Yep.
I delivered firewood.
Oh my gosh.
I did it all.
So you do whatever it took. Yeah.
I felt if I wasn't making money, I was spending money.
Right.
So I'd rather just make it.
In order to do one, you need the other. So
yeah,
I guess
exactly.
That's a good gig. Nice, nice. And so there's a fun story about how you kind of got involved with the whole Lazy Boy family, if you will. So
Right. So, you know, back in the neighborhood, you know, we grew up with some close families, and the Brunig family, I grew up not too far away from, like 27 houses away.
And not to be specific or anything.
No, exactly. No.
27.
Well, we shared, you know, Thanksgivings, and Ed Brunig was my Pop Warner football coach. And I, you know, went to school with his son, Ed Jr., Ed the Third, actually. You know, I was bartending in 92, and Ed kept recruiting me to come work at Lazy Boy. Come work at Lazy Boy. You'd be amazing at this. And I was doing the UPS thing, waiting to be a driver.
Right.
Which is everybody wanted to be a driver for UPS back then. And then I said, finally, let's go. Let's give this a shot. And I really loved it.
Yeah.
I loved the interaction with people. And it was, you know, it was a little different from bartending, but a lot of the same.
Yeah.
You know, it was actually just better hours.
Yeah. Still dealing with people and hearing
still
their stories.
Dealing with people. And it was weekends all, you know, just as much. And,
yep.
And, but, you know, everything had a more set schedule.
Awesome.
So it was really fun.
Awesome. So obviously family, friends, and that's what got you into the whole gig. And how did it work out? Where did you start? What sort of a position?
So I started off selling at the 51st Avenue and Bell Road store, which has since been changed.
Okay.
We've since moved it.
Okay.
There's a funny story behind that. But So I started off selling there, sold there for 5 years. And then I became a store manager.
Okay.
So I still lived in Glendale, but I traveled to manage the Tempe store for a couple years.
Nice.
And then I came back and I took over management of that store.
Okay.
And then we took it to the number one store in the nation. So,
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty fun. I mean,
young guy getting his feet wet in a brand new industry. So that's exciting.
Yeah. It was, it wasn't quick, but it was, 7 years or so and we kind of figured it out.
Yeah. Wow. And so then just worked different positions on all the way up to president.
Yeah. So I managed it a couple more years and then I became a general sales manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated to a vice president of sales. And most recently, and 5 years ago, I guess now, I became president of EBCO. Yeah. It seems like yesterday.
How did that happen?
It's really fast.
Wow.
You blink and all of a sudden you're here and you go, wow.
Yeah. When did that happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Blink of an eye. And you said 25 years. I mean, that's a
25
journey.
years.
Is a journey. So for you growing up, obviously, in the company and now in this industry, I guess you can say, was there someone that was a huge mentor to you in either in the company or outside of the company that really sort of showed you the ropes or taught you along the way?
Yeah. You know, I had a mentor early on. His name was Bernie Gaddick. Mm-hmm. And he kind of taught me how to be a professional, how to come to work, how to take care of yourself, how to be all in when you're there.
Yeah.
And then when you're not there, you know, get out. You know, I was always wanting to work extra days, extra hours, things like that. And he'd have to handle me. And he'd have to say, you got to go home. You can't come in tomorrow.
And oh, interesting.
I'm like, well, no, I'm good. I don't need a break. He goes, well, we need a break from you.
Oh my God. we get a little too much of you.
Yeah, we get too much of you too. So
that's funny.
Yeah, it was fun.
So he was a good mentor to you. And how was it working for basically a family friend and someone who was a coach to you on the field?
You know what? It was very cleanly stated early on.
Friends
is friends, business is business.
Okay, well, good.
If you handle yours, you're going to do great.
Yeah. Were there any collides along the way or was it pretty smooth sailing with that?
It was pretty smooth sailing because I always understood, you know, what the marching orders were.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And today, both Ed and Ed are very involved in the company.
Well, Ed's our owner and he has since bought it in 99 from his dad. Mm-hmm. So, he's been a very instrumental owner across the Lazy Boy Network, implementing some things. And we teach the Lazy Boy Network, you know, a lot about how to conduct the stores.
Yeah.
Because of our position being Lazy Boy's number one dealer in the nation,
which is incredible. Is it 16, 18 stores?
We have 10 stores.
Oh, 10 stores. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And I was telling Mike earlier that we just come back from Furniture Market and we received the top 4 stores in the United States,
which is unbelievable. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, that is huge. And how many stores are there nationally?
360.
I mean, that is impressive.
In North America. So that can, you know, Canada's in part of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So impressive. So for you, obviously you've worked in various capacities throughout the company over the years. Yeah. What's sort of the driving engine that's led you to the success that you and the company have had?
Well, you know, I think when you're involved with something that you really believe in and having a product that you really love and that you never have to apologize for.
Right.
And, you know, so having faith in that.
Yeah.
And then being part of a culture, a company-wide culture of something that's bigger than just, you know, selling furniture,
right,
is powerful to me and to the whole company, really.
Sure. Well, and you mentioned it. You mentioned the phrase "all in," and it's definitely that energy around there. I know we've had the privilege of partnering and working together, but I do know that the whole team, I mean, embraces one another and cheers one another on, and it is unlike many companies that I've ever been proud and privileged enough to work with. I mean, it is a very unique, special culture that you've created.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's special for
sure.
Well,
we like that win-win-win approach, right? When the customer wins, we win internally, the company wins, everybody wins.
And, absolutely.
You know, when gains a lot of alignment when that happens.
And what do you do to kind of keep that going? Because obviously businesses can ebb and flow and the economy and all those things can play into it. So what is it that you do to kind of keep that alive within your organization?
Well, I mean, most recently, we've kind of flipped the org chart on its head a little bit and solicited, you know, our people to generate everything we do through ideas and innovations and ask them to, you know, to be key implementers in everything we do. I mean, they're the ones at the touch points at every point in our customers.
Sure.
So, you know, a few years ago, Ed and I sat down and says, it doesn't really make a lot of sense of us to tell you how to do your job. Tell us how you can do your job better.
Right.
Give us the information. And if you need more tools or if you need greater awareness to what you have going on, let's do it. Let's figure it out together. And you tell us what roadblocks are in front of you and let's remove them.
Yeah. And you know what? I would say it's so evident and ever present in walking into your offices that everyone is 100% bought in, all in, and that every voice matters, which is unique. I mean, you can just tell that everyone there wants to be there and they're a part of something. They know it and they feel it. And you know, walking into that environment, we can feel it. So it's something special. It's really something special that you've created. You can
Thank
be proud.
we are. Yeah. I mean, we had last year, we had 1,800 implemented ideas from our company employees.
1,800
implemented ideas. And it could be something small. It could be something very profound.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter, right? If it just moves the company forward an inch, mm-hmm. that makes us an inch better than we were yesterday.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I love the fact that you know that number. I mean, that in and of itself speaks to the culture, because how many companies wouldn't track something like that or just take it as
everything, Jody.
I know you do. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. But that's a metric that not everyone might even notice or pay attention to. Yeah. So that's pretty impressive.
I'm very proud of it.
And outside of that, you know, the furniture industry and Lazy Boy in general, it's changed a lot over the years. This is not, you know, your grandpa's Lazy Boy.
No, right.
It's very different.
I think people would be shocked to know that 40% of our sales really come through our in-home design program.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really profound to do.
Different.
Yeah, we can do it all, you know, full line furniture store now.
Yeah.
So maybe people thought of us as, you know, recliner store only, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Lazy Boy's had sofas for 43 years,
right?
Or whatever.
Right.
And
right.
Now we do bedroom dining and bar stools. We do it all. Yeah.
Well, and you walk into one of your showrooms and it's, you know, overwhelming how much there is and how many choices and styles and selection. And yeah, so if you don't know and you're just going off of the name that everybody knows and the
right.
brand and thinking of just the one chair,
mm-hmm.
My gosh, yeah, if you haven't been in, it's completely different than what one might think.
Yeah. A lot of our people, you know, customers tell us, like, they walk into our furniture store and they go, okay, this is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And we, you know, teach and coach our salespeople, like, they're coming into a furniture store, maybe be thinking singular in reclining or just living room or family room,
right.
but it's up to us to help them,
right.
you know, really find what they really truly want to solve in their homes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is probably like that, a puzzle, if you will, of, you know, where does this, you know, this one chair might be the idea. And then it leads to, you know, something completely different than what they even knew was possible.
Right. Right.
But that's why your team's so adept at solving that for them. Yeah. So
that's awesome. Every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you also are a dad and a wonderful husband. So tell us
thank
about
you.
Your family.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I am father of four children.
Awesome.
My wife, Robin, and I, we have a 6-year-old together.
Uh-huh.
I have three from previous marriage. We've been married 10 years.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh. And my oldest is 23. He's okay. He's amazing. He's on the autistic spectrum,
uh-huh.
and he does so great just managing his life. And
it's great.
Yeah. Color of the sky in his world is pretty special.
That's but, yeah. so neat. I love it.
Yeah,
love
I have
hearing
a,
that.
A junior up at NAU. Her name is Gwen. I have a daughter named Grace. She's a junior in high school.
Okay.
And then our little Maggie Jane, who's six.
Six.
Kinda,
yeah. Oh my gosh. Maggie Jane. How cute is that?
Yeah.
Gotta love it. And
yeah.
and so what is it that you're, when you're not working, which I know you are there a lot, and you've
mm-hmm.
got lots of team members to manage. How many team members at Lazy Boy?
We have 254 people.
Wow. Okay.
The
so that's
mm-hmm.
big. So
yeah.
I know that takes a lot of your time, but what is it that you guys do for fun and when you're not?
We have sports involved in our life.
Maggie
Jane plays sports, and Grace, who plays badminton in high school, and Gwen played tennis in high school.
Nice.
And yeah. So we do have that. And then we like to get out of town every time we can up
right.
to Prescott, you
nice.
Know, because my in-laws have a place up there. In
and you have a showroom. Valley. So
yeah.
there
and,
you go.
And I got a store I got to check on, right?
Two birds, one stone. And how funny. I thought I was the only person that ever played badminton in high school, but I didn't know anyone ever did
that's
that
a crazy
except
fast
for me.
Sport.
Oh my
I
gosh.
I did not realize
it's
how.
It's wild.
Yes.
It's wild. Everyone laughs and they're like, seriously, you lettered in badminton.
Yes.
Like, it's a sport. Really.
It's real.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Some of those gals are wickedly fast.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I was never that good, but your daughter's probably 100 times better. But you know, it is a really fun sport. You take it out of the backyard, it becomes something really crazy competitive.
Well, yeah, it does.
Yeah. yeah. And those birdies fly, let me tell you. So now with the business, what really sets you apart? Because I know that there's a lot of competition in the space. So what is it that you really find is your niche or that really makes you unique?
Well, I'll be real specific about that. It's our people.
Mm-hmm.
Our people. It's our company culture.
Yeah.
Everybody loves working in our company culture because they have a voice.
Yep.
How many places do you go to and they just say, just that's not direction we want you to go. This is not what we're doing. You know, don't don't speak, you know, be seen, not heard type
right.
thing. And we want and encourage great ideas. In fact, we just gave a trip away to Maui for a great idea this past year.
How great
yeah.
is that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's our company culture and everybody being involved and making it better and owning it.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And you know, each time I have the pleasure of interacting with your team or seeing them, you know, come through some of the training, it's absolutely not only apparent, but almost overflowing the enthusiasm they have and the gratitude that they have for working where they do. And it's this mutual appreciation that, again, you just don't see in other places. So not surprising to me that that would be your answer, but it really is something unique and special.
Well, statistically, and Mike probably knows this really well too, is just this, that, you know, we used to have like, you know, retail's retail. We used to have 100% turnover in retail.
Right.
Our company-wide turnover is down to 28%.
Wow.
So our average tenure is over 7 years.
That's amazing. That really is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are some numbers. Those are some numbers. That's great. That's great. So for you now, where do you see things going from here?
Well, you know, the next big thing is expansion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just some online expansion, but, you know, more retail stores where mm-hmm. we can find space, you know, in the Valley and maybe outside of it.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of our niche. And, you know, our in-home design program's really the driver of a lot of things. You know, customers are asking for us, and it's getting bigger and bigger.
So great.
About awareness to it. So, you know, we'll probably see that, you know, up to half our business when you wouldn't even think Lazy Boy may even have it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, when we have accredited designers.
Have all of that. Yeah. Right, right. And when you look back, you know, obviously at a career that's spanned 25 years with one company, is there any advice that anyone gave you along the way or any words of wisdom that's really shaped you in terms of helping you grow as well as being mm-hmm. able to help this company get to where it is today?
I'd always just be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Be part of the solution. Learn to grow. Learn your business.
Yeah.
You know, invest in yourself. Invest in your business. And, you know, through, I obviously know you and improved. Everybody's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody's a leader.
Yeah.
So understand what your role in leadership is now and what it could be someday.
Yeah.
No matter what acceptance you're in, what role you're in right now.
I
so
love it.
Just assume the next position, really.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Step into your next level of greatness within the organization and and have the support along the way, which that's half the battle, really.
True.
So, well, on the Leadership Lowdown, we'd like to have some fun. And I don't know if you've been able to tune into any of our broadcasts before, but there's a series of questions that I love to ask each of our guests. And this comes from, I know, dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's fun. So these are some questions.
Non-previewed,
by the way. Non-previewed, no. But see, now, Mike, you get a little bit of a heads up because you get to hear... hear Frank's answers, but that won't, I'm sure that will not infiltrate your mind at all because I know
I'll forget that.
I don't know that you'll forget, but I know that you're unique enough that you'll come up with some of your own, no problem. So these are questions actually based on originally a French television show, a talk show, and they made their way to an American TV show called Inside the Actor Studio. And now I've basically borrowed them. I don't want to say stole, I borrowed them because Inside the Actor Studio.
Yes.
Do you know the questions? They're
amazing.
I
don't know the questions. I know, but like some of the questions.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome. Okay. So I will ask you these. And if you just, whatever answer comes, there's not a right or wrong here. So you're all good. Okay. So first question for you, Frank, what's your favorite word?
Enthusiasm.
Ooh, I like that. Like you want $1 billion.
Enthusiasm.
There we go.
I love it. I love enthusiasm.
Awesome. So if enthusiasm's your favorite, what's your least favorite word?
I can't. It's a phrase probably, but I can't.
Yeah,
I just
can't.
I don't wrap my head around that very well.
Yeah.
I
just
like how.
Right.
Right.
Well, because like you said, you're part of the solution, right?
Right?
I love it. I love it. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
What turns me on? Honestly, right now is work-life balance. I am so into that for my employees, mm-hmm. for myself. I catch myself early on in my career. I would just work. And then I wasn't understanding the power of rest.
Okay.
I wasn't understanding that. And for my people, implementing things that forces them to have work-life balance
mm-hmm.
is probably my strongest, you know, driver right now for my company and personally, really.
I love it. You know, it's interesting. I get that question a lot, you know, just in training about how do you balance it all? How do you balance it all? And it's the truth of the matter is it's like nothing's ever really in balance. You know, if something's mm-hmm. in balance, it's not moving, you know, and that's not life. So to your point, it's about taking care of both aspects. And sometimes too, especially if you're this type A driver personality, it's hard to almost step back to make that and take that time for yourself. So I love that not only you do that now for yourself, but for your team. That's critical.
We've mandated it throughout our company.
Really?
You have to work four-day work weeks.
Wow.
Okay.
Isn't that fantastic?
That's what you do. Yeah. And then, or figure out how you work shorter 5 days, mm-hmm. you know, 5 work hour days, you know, so yep. 5 hour work days. So.
There might be resumes flooding to you after people hear this show.
I hope so, you know, because that's what we're about. You know,
or maybe just, they'll flood to Mike and then Mike will help you out.
Yes,
I don't know.
Make some money.
Yeah. let's loop Mike into this.
Just be present, right? Yeah. Be present when you're off, be present when you're at work, and then yeah. that way you can enjoy both.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, if that's the case, then what turns you off?
Oh, just negativity.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's just
hard to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you don't live in that space, it's just
not I can't.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. What's your favorite curse word?
Shit. Just shit. Yeah.
Damn it's just a good
yeah.
one.
Shit, damn it. No, shit's good.
It might
shit's
be a phrase. Good. That's okay, yeah, too. Yeah. I love it. How about what sound or noise do you love?
The crack of a bat when a baseball hits it.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you're hitting or?
I don't get to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm all in with baseball. I love yeah. baseball. 3 of my kids are named after baseball players.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just, the crack of a bat, the sound of baseball, uh-huh. the ball hitting the glove. All of that. I just love that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. What sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, honestly, any of my kids crying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
That's
even when they're big kids.
How do I solve it?
Yeah.
Exactly. How do I help them?
Exactly.
Yeah,
jumping into the solver mode. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. I get it. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Ooh, I'd like to be an executive in baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to baseball.
Yeah. Back to baseball. That's I'd love awesome. To do that.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And what profession would you not like to do?
Anything that involves just being stationary.
Mm-hmm.
I need to move around. I need to see people. Yeah. I not happy otherwise.
Yeah. Can't yeah. be cooped up.
Right.
Yeah. I get that. I get that. And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Your uniform's dirty. Well done.
I love that. Oh, I'm hearing the bat cracking. I'm hearing the ball in the mitt. I love it. That's yeah. awesome. That's yeah. awesome. And I know that you're also highly involved in the community. Mm-hmm. I know that's a big part of your culture as well in terms right. of what EBCO does. So share with us a little bit about some of the things that are most important to you in that regard.
Well, really what's important to us is also at EBCO and it's important to me is our people want to be involved in the community. When mm-hmm. we talked about a vision of who we want to be someday as a company, mm-hmm. they mentioned that they can't be anything if they're not part of the community. So 70% of our people had volunteer hours last year with wow. Ronald McDonald House.
Wow.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to get Lazy Boy's honor being partner of the year wow. for Ronald McDonald House 2 years ago.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. We're hosting a dinner there tomorrow night.
Wow.
We hosted 12 dinners there last year. We had somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 hours.
Wow.
Volunteered last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
And we hosted a Ronald McDonald golf tournament too. So oh, wow. last year we were a key sponsor and it generated $150,000.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that about the culture and it's such a big thing. I know it's up on the walls and all the things that you give back and do, and it's just ingrained in
oh, they love again. Spending their time, and we'll help them with the money and as far as, yeah. you know, but they'll cook all the food tomorrow night. They'll so present great. It all, you know, and it'll be a great experience for
them. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I appreciate you being here today. Do you have some time to hang out while
oh,
we
course.
Chat with Mike too?
I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, and you, big guy, talk about people that give back in the community. My goodness, you're very actively involved as well.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff. I mean, it's got to be stuff that you like and that you believe in. That's
yeah.
kind of what, if you don't like it, then it's not going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big part of it. So tell us a little bit about, before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about at-work staffing and what you do and how you got involved in this line of work.
Well, I was a financial advisor for 14 years and I just got tired of listening to rich people whine. We did a really good job, my partner and I. And eventually we got recruited to Wells Fargo. Mm-hmm. We worked at a small regional company here. And then that just wrecked they ruined the desire to be in that business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just made a pact that he was going to take our customers and go set up his own gig.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to allow him to do it while I figured out what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked for a business and then I found Momentum Specialized Staffing, which was in the logistics business and mm-hmm. which truck drivers and warehouse.
Okay.
And so we grew that. And then 2008 hit, you know, and it was a scramble to try to, because we were in the wrong you're in the wrong business, people business, when nobody's hiring.
That's a tough one.
So you still have, you know, we called it stealth hiring, where you, you know, you got people in your business that you don't want to keep. And I'm saying, hey, there's a lot of other people that are now unemployed, so we'll find them for you and we'll switch them out. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what kept us alive.
Wow.
But then about a year ago, I decided we were only doing kind of the middle to upper, and we really needed the bottom part mm-hmm. of the staffing, the temporary and stuff like that.
Right.
So I got in touch with a couple people at At-Work company here in town, mm-hmm. decided that it would be a good merge opportunity because our businesses were totally dissimilar.
Oh, okay.
They also don't like to do any marketing or sales.
Yep.
So, which was fine because I like to do that. Mm-hmm. And they like to do all the numbers and
so that works out perfectly.
Cash flow. Yeah, so I don't have to do any of that. And they have a lot, they have better connections for lower costs, and the volume of people that you have to go through on a temp basis is astounding.
Yeah.
It's large, very large.
What's, in terms of your industry, I guess even in just your typical day or week, what's the toughest challenge you come up against?
People that can't show up on time.
Really?
I mean, that's number one. I mean, it's the, you can't show up. That's the bad thing.
Well, and I heard we were at a presentation this morning, and you were the speaker, and you mentioned that, is it 50% of people don't even show up for the...
It's higher than that now. I was corrected by my office manager.
50%
doesn't
plus.
Make any difference. The salary level, whether it's 10 bucks an hour or 100 grand, they're all the same way.
Isn't that amazing?
They just can't. And you don't know whether it's part of a staffing company, they don't want to go there, but as somebody that gets asked for advice on, you know, how to get a job, I say never turn down an interview because you never know what it is.
Yeah, sure.
So why are you sitting at home pinging us with emails
right.
when I told you to come into the office?
Right.
You know,
right.
let's just cut the crap.
And, right, right.
You know, cut out the middleman.
Sure.
But they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I've come to the conclusion that being on time, how to react to employers is not innate. It's a trained response.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you have single families, you know, parents, one of the parents work, nobody teaches you to be on time. Like my dad would constantly grind us on be on time,
mm-hmm.
come out 10 minutes before so we could check your clothes, you know, crap like that.
Yep.
And eventually you start to get that. But today people are like, yeah, you know, that's kind of a suggestion, 8 o'clock.
Maybe right.
I'll get there when I can get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll get there. 8:05, 8:10. That's
usually
suffice.
What happens. And, and there's not a lot of repercussions you can have outside of, you know, having robotics, which is not there yet.
Right.
Because you need the people. So a lot of times you got to put up with this grief and it's just aggravating.
Yeah. I was definitely, my grandfather had a huge influence in my life. Mm-hmm. And same thing, if you weren't 10 minutes early, you were late. You know, it was, you were on time. So punctuality is pretty key in our world. So when you look back to your journey, obviously through working in securities and all of that, what was sort of the big roadblock for you? Did you have a big roadblock along the way with whether it was in buying your company?
Well, we never were, I never was really I was never really managed. We were always in the securities business. It was, you got to figure out how to do it. If you didn't, then you just washed out and went somewhere else. When I bought the business, there wasn't, not everybody wants to talk to you and teach you the staffing business. So you had to learn a lot of that on your own. Mm-hmm. Plus you had to have intuition with working with people, which I think I can basically tell if somebody's worth hiring in 5 minutes.
Wow.
You can't, it's hard to teach that. You can't. My office manager will do a half hour interview and she'll have questions and, you know, there's a whole process. I don't. I talk to people and I get them to talk and then I get them to hang themselves.
Right.
And if they don't, well, that's a good
book,
thing.
Malcolm Caldwell, right?
Yep.
You know, blink.
Yeah.
You can tell within 5 minutes, right? Yep. When you're in mastery of what you do.
Yeah.
You have to see. I mean, I stopped counting at 5,000 interviews.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did a lot. And I still do interviews. A lot of people that are higher up in staffing business don't do interviews, but part of the thing is you can't talk about staffing unless you're doing it, and I'm doing it. So when I tell people, I go, hey, this isn't coming from me reading some report. I'm actually seeing this.
Right.
So
firsthand.
It's a lot better when you're dealing with customers, because a lot of customers need to be, you need to tell them what to do because they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so for today, what is it that, that applicants can do to really stand out and set themselves apart?
Show up.
that would be step
fill
one.
Out,
yeah.
You know, spell check your resume. Yeah. Respond to interview requests. Always go to all interviews.
Yeah.
Unless you know it's a, you know, like they're having a cattle call for like a call center that's sure. all commissioned. That's one that you won't go to twice. But if somebody says, hey, come into the office and interview, nobody's very good at interviews. So why are you turning down a free deal? Even if you're not interested, mm-hmm. go, hey, play a game. I'm going to go in and get them to make me an offer.
Right, right.
And then I can decide then.
Right.
But instead of just going, well, you know, I don't like the way that place is in the part of town. Or I'm like, you have no idea
yep.
who you're screwing with.
I just can't imagine like skipping an opportunity, even just to have the experience of that. So it's so surprising to me that that's
well, it's
so prevalent.
It's, again, that's another part of learning. Somebody's yep. got to tell you that.
Right, right.
We get people that are, you know, there's some of the rudest. And I don't know if you know any of these people, but the rudest people and the cockiest people mm-hmm. in the world is welders.
Oh, interesting.
They think they're like a brain surgeon.
And then, but I'm sure like on the flip side too, you probably have magnificent candidates come in too. So when that happens, is that like this breath of fresh air? I mean, is that?
Yeah, they stand out more because we're jaded.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a jaded look, so, uh-huh. which you need because mm-hmm. you don't fall into traps
right.
where people can, you know, bullshit you, which
right.
I don't like.
Right.
So
right.
I'll try to figure out if you're doing that to me or not. Mm-hmm. If you're like, if you get somebody in your office and they're presentable, even if there's some things you may not like, can they overcome, mm-hmm. you know, some of the questions? Some of the questions I ask are just about where you worked, why'd you leave? Mm-hmm. You know, would you work there? You know, why? You know, what would your supervisor say? Mm-hmm. You know, tell me what you do for fun. I want to hear what some people, I want them to tell me something that I probably don't want to hear.
Yep.
Because I'm looking off 10 points and I'm taking points off as I go.
Yeah. Looking for it. Now, for you, you also grew up here and also native, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I was born here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you went to, was it Washington?
Washington High School. Then I went to NAU. And
I'm
then
sorry.
I
no,
went
just
to,
kidding.
Oh yeah, American Graduate
Go Devils.
School. American Graduate School, which is now part of ASU.
Yep. Used to be Thunderbird back in the day.
Yep. It was Thunderbird. Yep. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I went there. I was the closest person that went to Thunderbird because I lived on 13th Avenue in Northern out of the 900 students.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got the award for being able to walk
being
there.
The closest person.
That's great. That's great. How was that experience? Did you learn a lot from it?
Yeah. It's not like a typical college. You mm-hmm. know, my 4 years at NAU, there was a lot of, you know, we did study, but there was a lot of fun. I was mm-hmm. in a fraternity. Not that place was a grind.
Yeah, that's a different,
the
different
language was a grind. It was 8 hours a week of language.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. there just wasn't any, it wasn't like, oh, people are out whipping it up.
Yeah.
If they're not, you know, 8:30, there's nothing going
right.
on.
Right.
And it's
there's
not
pub,
the place.
Though, right?
Yeah,
you could go to the
there
pub.
Was a beer. There was a place that's, it was one of the, it was the only college at one time that had its own bar.
Yep.
But, you know, the place closed at 11.
Yeah.
So
what fun
it's
is
not
that?
Like it's a great, it's not
we'll
like
focus on
great,
academics.
And it was
my
way
goodness.
Out in Glendale. So a lot of people that came here didn't have a car. Like they didn't, you know, they didn't have Uber and stuff.
Yeah.
Now.
Back
it's
in the day.
It's very hard to go places. And
sure.
there wasn't all the, you know, the development out there since 1986. Is totally different. I mean,
sure.
that thing was out in the sticks.
Oh, yeah. That was way far out there.
Yeah,
my brother went there and I remember
now.
Driving going, where? I was at ASU and I was like, where is this? Like, you are so far away. It really did seem like another planet. So,
yeah.
So was there something that you took from that experience that was really shaping for you as you moved on into your working career?
I went to school, the school there was a lot of Ivy League mm-hmm. and Gonzaga, Stanford. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow, you guys got screwed. I paid a hell of a lot less to go to school and I don't know the same as much as you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I learned that.
Yep.
But, the other thing was, is you had to be really disciplined on the language. I mean, it was literally grind uh-huh. night after night.
And
it was tapes and practicing with whatever the partner, there wasn't any internet, there mm-hmm. wasn't any computer stuff. It was just ground and pound.
Yeah. And then, and you went and studied abroad then too.
I went an internship in Guadalajara I had mm-hmm. for 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah. In between semesters. Yeah. I took actually 2 semesters off.
Wow. How was that experience?
It It was awesome. I loved, I would have worked down there if the economy would have been better.
Yeah.
And you could have found a dollar denominated job, mm-hmm. but it just, you would have worked down there and it would have been with the devaluation every other week.
Yeah.
It wasn't. You wouldn't have had any money after. Right. You could have stayed there, which would have been fine because mm-hmm. Back then, I mean, you could do anything for very low cost.
Sure. Sure. But that obviously wasn't the the plan that you wanted. Did you, along your journey, did you have any major mentor or anybody that kind of took you under their wing or gave you kind of those roots to start?
That's a good question. Actually, no.
Okay. Interesting.
So most of the stuff that I get is from a group of people I went to grade school and high school with. So we have, and they're still in town and we hang out.
I love that. Both of you have these homies from childhood. Yeah. That's so great.
Those people, those are the people that are the, you know, you can, and they're all in different businesses and they're all fairly successful.
Wow.
I'm probably the least successful person in the group that I hang out with. I always think you ought to hang out with smarter people.
Right.
I always do. Because that, you know, that ups the game.
But that's great. You've got this circle of peers that you really learn and grow mm-hmm. with one another and learn from each other's experiences and probably the hardships and the successes along the way.
Yep. And it works, but it's got to work both ways.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. No, that's great. So when you're not working, because I know you work hard, what do you do for fun? I know you got a beautiful wife who I've had the pleasure of meeting a couple of times now.
What do I do?
I know you're not eating pizza and Mexican food.
Well, I got to do that for lunch. One of the things, my wife and I like to do, we do a lot of stuff together, movies, go out to eat. We have a cabin south of Flagstaff and Munns Park that we go to. It's kind of a very relaxed, it's got to be relaxing because I'm very hyper.
Uh-huh.
So like I'm tapping my foot right now.
Yeah.
three of us are.
Yeah.
Trying to relax is probably one of my big issues.
Yeah.
I used to play a lot of golf before the recession. I'd pay about 50 times a year.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't, you know, once you stop doing it on a regular basis, it goes away.
Right.
So I play, but it's not like I used to. I used to be really good and mm-hmm. now I stink and I really don't like that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to put the time in.
Right. So you're caught between the what do? Do I put the time
exactly.
in or not? Oh, yeah. We got to get back out there.
Yeah. I mean,
gotta have some fun with it, right?
I mean, it's you can lose. That's a skill that erodes quickly without any type of practice.
Yeah. Yeah. How long have you and your wife been married now?
Well, yeah, I had to figure that out for the presentation. 27 and a half years, but I knew her for 4.5 before we got married.
Wow. So you've really grown up with one another.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you have children?
I have one child, Michael. He works and he's in Reno. He's 23.
Awesome. Yeah. What does he do?
He works at Copper State Bolt Nut, which is a company that's located here.
Yeah,
company. It's probably about over $200 million of revenues. And they have, they have a project up there for the Tesla battery factory and they do the nuts and bolts contract. So my son's actually on the Tesla.
Oh, how fun.
He works on that.
That's a great, great project.
Given all the supplies to all the contractors.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's great. So you've got the family time, but you don't know how to relax well. So we got to work on that.
No.
So in terms of the business side of things, where are things going in the next 5 years? What do you see on the horizon? Yeah.
You know, we have a healthcare edge. We have a healthcare practice. I want to expand it because it's recession proof,
mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, especially caregivers. I mean, that any of that type of stuff is a necessity. So I want to do more of that. And I think we want to do more of just temporary labor because there's a lot of companies that if you have a place where it's just come in and punch a button and do, you know, menial things and you can manage your business that way and you can make money.
Sure.
And then you don't have to deal with any employees. You're basically, everybody's a temp.
Yep.
They rotate, they drop off, they can't make it, you just replace them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like interchangeable parts.
Sure.
And if there's a lot of businesses that can operate that way, most businesses can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that one, but now you got to find people who actually show up.
Right. Right. Yeah, back to that.
Hard.
Right.
Back to the showing up.
Right. Back to the showing up. So the thing we've really learned is just show up. That's number one rule. Show up.
Most people would love the average worker that shows up every day.
Sure.
And a good one that doesn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And your business services really all industries, right?
Yeah, we do now because, you know, we're doing from the low labor all the way up to $150,000 managers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, there's a couple people that are interested. Salespeople are probably really hard to hire in town. Yeah. They want too much upfront money.
Yep.
There's no training. Mm-hmm. You know, like the old companies used to train people. Yeah. They don't do it anymore.
Yep.
So it's cheaper to steal people.
Yeah.
And so if you want to hire a salesperson, which I've hired salespeople for a long time, part of the problem is I've trained all of them. But what happens is after a certain amount of time, people quit doing what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And then the thing goes in the dumper.
Yeah. Frank's like, yeah, there's some truth to that.
Well, they get really comfortable. Yeah. And then they take shortcuts to all the best practices that they were taught. And just because sometimes it's easier. And then they go back and they go, oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I got to go back to basics.
They stop going to the events. Like, it's real easy.
Things
sometimes
they
have
quit showing up.
Yeah. there you go.
I have events and I go, oh, I don't really want to go there. And then I'll go anyway. And then I'm like, wow, I'm glad I went.
Glad I went. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
So it's interesting that, and these people usually spend about a year with me. So they go with me. I go with them. I let them handle stuff. Mm-hmm. Almost everyone at about a 2 to 3 year plateau and then right off the deep end.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. It's a hard role to fill. Very hard role to fill. Gone are the days of the commission only out there hungry. Like,
you can't hire anybody that way. I mean,
it's hard to find.
Yeah. If you want to, like, we have people call us all the time and I said, listen, I don't have the time to hire. Nobody's going to do that in this market. You got to give something that covers the basic costs. Yep. And we won't look at a salesperson unless it's at least a 50G base because you're just not going to get anybody decent.
Yeah. It's interesting. Mm. Oh, how times have changed.
Yeah.
Oh, how times have changed. Well, I want to jump in and make sure we get all of these fun questions answered by you. So, Mr. Mike, what's your favorite word?
Idiot.
What's your favorite word?
I use it all the time. Yeah. And I just say it when somebody does something, I'll just go, idiot.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, that is the first time we've heard that one.
I don't know how many times, I probably use it 50 times.
Is it a term of endearment?
It can be, but usually it's not. Like if somebody will come in and go, hey, guess what happened? And they'll go, I go, idiot. Yeah. And then that's it.
That's just how it is. So what's your least favorite word?
This me. Week?
Me.
Yeah, because me this, me that,
me. Yeah,
I don't like that.
That's good. That's really good. I like that a lot. Probably in your industry, you hear that one once or twice. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Probably booze. Yeah, that's the one thing I will not give up. I've given up almost every other thing.
Every other vice is gone.
But I will not give that up.
So what's the alcohol of choice?
You know, it depends. Uh-huh. If we want to sit for, if I know we're going to be here 3 or 4 hours, I'll drink Chardonnay, which people will make fun of me and I don't care. But I can.
Is it with a straw?
Yeah. No straw.
Is your pinky up?
I can subsist at that level for a while. Now, my friends, if I sit down and order what I usually like whiskey, straight up or whatever, they know that's going to be a bad thing.
Oh, okay.
Whiskey changes my personality.
We're clocking in right now.
Yeah, and it really does. I get to be a lot more fun.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe next time we know what to prepare. Next time you come on Leadership Lowdown, we'll have it all ready for you. I love it. I love it. What turns you off?
I got to go back to the me thing. It's like when you go out with somebody and you want to tell, like you want to go, oh, you know, boy, let me tell you what I did, you know, or, oh, I got this new boat, or, you know, people that constantly talk. And people that know me, I'll go, oh, hey, let's hear more about you. And then that usually ends it.
And then comes idiot, right?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it is true. Comes up a lot where it's kind of this all about me and let me show you what else I've done or show you what else I just bought or this need to impress. So yeah, interesting. I'm sure you see it a lot also in your line of work. Okay, here we go. What's your favorite curse word?
Oh, Jesus H. Christ on a crutch.
When did he have a crutch?
That's just a thing I heard from my dad when I was a kid, and all my buddies use it. Like if something happens, they go, Jesus H. Christ on a crutch. And everybody's like, why has he got a crutch? I go, I don't know. It just sounds really good. So that's the
I like it. Preferred. We're going to go with it. We're going to go with
I
it.
I like that.
Yeah, I think we might be adopting it.
Well, you know what the H stands for? Holy.
Right.
So that's what everybody always asks. What's the H?
What's the H? Right.
This holy. Doesn't flow as well.
Yeah, you got to just abbreviate. Yeah.
You lose the H when you hear the crutch.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. Where did we go with that? Yeah. The crutch. Interesting. Nice. What sound or noise do you love?
I like the sound of card shuffling. I don't know why. That's just kind of relaxing.
Are you a card player?
Not really anymore.
No.
But I just like when somebody, if you get somebody that really knows how to shuffle, and you're like, wow, that's a...
That is a cool sound. That is a cool sound. I hadn't thought about that one. I love the creativity that happens on this show. I'm like, never would have thought of that sound, but that is cool. We had one guest, we talked about what sound or noise do you hate, and he talked about styrofoam, rubbing against styrofoam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I never like thought of that, but ooh, yeah, that's bad. It's so funny the things that come up. So what sound or noise do you hate?
Too many dogs barking. Like, I let my dogs bark a certain amount, and then I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to hear it.
You're done. Yeah. Okay. I love it. What profession other than your own would you like to attend?
Oh, that's easy. A veterinarian.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So the barking dogs, you can get over
I'm
that.
I'm a huge pet
How many dogs do you have?
I have two, but I'd probably have five if I could get away with it. I mean, I had up till a couple of years ago, hamsters only lived 2 years. We used to have them in my office. So we probably had 10 hamsters. Because at 2 years, they basically, you can almost to the day they'll die.
Oh.
That's their lifespan.
Oh, that's so sad. I never knew that.
So I've had a bunch. I have a picture of a hamster on my phone. And that was the last one I had.
Oh.
So hamsters, I've had snakes, iguanas. When I was a kid, I'm really good at it. We have a tortoise that's 20, almost 30 years old in our yard that we have an enclosure for. Uh-huh. But dogs I love. Like if somebody shows me a video of a dog getting abused, I'm like, oh my God, we should shoot that guy.
Yeah. Save the dog. Oh my gosh. I did not know that about you. So a vet.
That's great.
That is great. I love it. So what profession would you never like to attempt?
Oh, I wouldn't want to be a doctor.
Oh, interesting.
I wouldn't want to listen to all that whining. But and
a vet is a doctor.
Well, no. There's no whining. Back. There's no talking.
Yeah. It's just barking. Yeah. So just make sure that there's not too many dogs at any one given time. We know the parameters.
Or having to deal with people that are really sick, you know. Yeah. And that would be a bummer.
That's tough. Yeah. That's tough stuff. Yeah. I always look up to doctors and people that can handle that every day. That's a lot. That's heavy stuff. So for you, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive
at you're at the wrong door. The other one's done.
No, not what will he say or she that's say.
That's what he's going to say.
What would you like him to say?
Yeah. If you could choose.
That's probably the best.
Best case scenario.
That's the best thing you could say to you. Yeah.
You're like, this is as good as it's going to get, really.
He must have been there on a whiskey night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's seen it all. I love it. Well, on the Leadership Lowdown, we always have to ask your best advice or your best tip, or what would you share with our listeners as the one thing, that piece of leadership wisdom that you would love to share with our listeners? So we'll start with you, Frank. What's one thing that you could share with them?
I would say nothing's more important than your culture. Mm-hmm. No matter what type of team you're on, no matter who's in the room, mm-hmm. If somebody's getting too big for the team, you need to take them down a notch, just because there's nobody bigger than the team itself.
Yep.
So culture is the most important thing. And, you know, it goes to, you know, showing up on time, things like that. That just can't happen in our company.
Yeah.
That just is. That's not going to go well here.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And have high expectations. I'm kind of sick of people not having higher expectations. Mm-hmm. I'm actually kind of embarrassed from some of our customer reviews who just give us 5-star reviews because we showed up on time for our 3-hour delivery.
Right.
I mean, they're like, where'd their expectations go to?
Right.
Have high expectations, you know, and set the bench.
Right.
You know, so in everything you do, look for that. And once you have a culture, protect it.
Yeah. That's so huge. Well, you guys are brilliant at that. So,
It's the hardest thing to build and the easiest thing to tear down. So, when you're thinking about what you got to do on a daily basis, you know, when things are going well, look for where it may be coming from.
Yep. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. How about you, Mike?
Well, it's probably two things. The under promise, over deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to tell people no if it's not a fit.
Yeah.
Don't do it half-assed. Just go, listen, this isn't something that we can do. And I'm really, I think that's one of my things. I'll tell people that.
Yeah.
Because we can't do that mm-hmm. or we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
For And here's the reasons why.
Yeah. Either do it right or don't yeah. bother. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, if our listeners want to learn more about you or your companies, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you? We'll start with Frank. So,
you know what? Come into one of our stores.
Yeah.
Test our culture for yourself.
Yep.
See how you feel when you walk through our stores. That's I think perfect. You'll see a real difference.
Yep.
Of course, you can go to the website and you can mm-hmm. see things, but it's nothing like feeling it.
Right.
And
firsthand.
Seeing the look of Lazy Boy. Go yep. look it out. Nearly all of our stores have been remodeled to the new concept store for for Lazy Boy Corporate nationally.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll always see the new look of comfort when you come in the store. So. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Yeah. Well, and I can speak to that myself. So when we started working together, I yeah. did exactly that. I'm like, I want to get a feel for the culture because I know this is a big part of it and you know, want to feel it. And I will tell you the level of attention, the level of commitment, the joy that your team had in actually I went to three different locations. Each one was exactly the same in terms of this level of joy and enthusiasm and being there. How can they help? But it wasn't that pushy, overwhelming, you know, that right. type of atmosphere. Was they were just sincerely there wanting to help and how can I contribute to you? And it was great. What you've created is truly remarkable. So
thanks,
so thanks for doing the work that you do and developing the leaders that you do. And how about you, my friend? How do we reach you, Mike?
Well, if a lot of people want to reach us probably because they want to see what kind of services we offer or mm-hmm. what kind of jobs we have. And our website in town is atworkgroupphoenix.com, all one word. And that gives you all the jobs that we have, tons of jobs up there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And also if employers want to look at that and see, okay, what's available in town, because lots of people call us and go, well, what should I pay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll basically tell you, hey, what kind of person, A, B, C, or D.
Right, right.
And you gotta
so it's a great resource for that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you got to yeah. pay X to get, like when somebody comes to me, I tell them, if you want really good, this is what you have to pay.
Perfect. Great. Well, you're such a resource. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you both so much for spending some time with us today and sharing all of your journey and your wisdom and insights with our listeners. We appreciate it so much. And I know they took some great nuggets with them today. So appreciate you being here. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you have been listening to the Leadership Lowdown, hosted by me, Jody Lowe, and powered by You and Improved. And at You and Improved, we are passionate about partnering with companies' leadership to develop their most valuable asset, that of course being their people. So to learn more about our personal and professional development classes and trainings, visit youandimprove.com or you can reach me at jody@youandimprove.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our guests and we will look forward to talking to you all soon.